You're listening to People Fixing the World, the podcast from BBC World Hacks. I'm Kathleen Hawkins. We've recently been thinking a lot about voter turnouts here at World Hacks and why they're often so low. I mean, in the last US presidential election, only just over half of the population voted. That means that Donald Trump won with the votes of a quarter of the population. And for local elections, the numbers are much, much worse. One solution we've been looking at is money. If you used a cash reward of some kind to encourage people to vote, it could get more people to the polls. It's an idea, though, that comes with huge ethical issues and thoughts of bribery and corruption. But we have heard stories of using money to incentivise people at World Hacks before, paying women in Peru to take care of their children, for example. Our reporter Gemma Newby has been looking into a very clever use of cash rewards for voting. But it's not cash for everyone. Instead, it's the idea that if you vote, you enter a lottery and you could win big. Tell us more, Gemma.
OK, so Kat, imagine you won $10,000 just for voting. How would you feel?
That would be very good.
Well, I'm not just making this up. It actually happened to someone.
All evening, voters came and went from the Murphy Recreation Center in South Philly, helping elect our next local and state leaders. That's what Bridget Conroy Varnas was also doing around 6:36 Tuesday, leaving the polling location with wide eyes, wondering about all the lights and cameras.
You're our $10,000 winner.
I was shaking. I was nervous. I was surprised. And I felt blessed, too.
Meet 52-year-old Bridget Conroy Varney. She's a school crossing guard from South Philadelphia. And Bridget is one of two people in America to have won a cash prize simply for turning up to her local polling booth and choosing a candidate. It's an experiment that's been tried in two US states in a desperate attempt to get more people to vote. Bridget lives in a working-class, multicultural community. She told me about her two sisters and a niece who all live on the same street and said that's typical for where she's from. Being presented with a cheque with the words $10,000 on it was a real bolt out of the blue.
It was a regular day, and it was funny because I was actually intending to go and vote earlier than what I did vote. I made dinner, and I was like, oh, I didn't vote. So I ran over to the polling place, and I voted. It was funny because when I got there, I seen a lot of news band from different channels around town, and I was like, ooh, something must have happened. And I happened to see my sister come out of the polling place. I said, did you win the money? She said, no, you're going to win the money. I was like, yeah, okay, because we were kidding around. And sure enough, when I walked out, I won the money.
You may not think the US has a voter turnout problem listening to Bridget, who's clearly a diligent citizen, but it does. And if you think it's bad for the presidential elections, it's far worse at state and local level.
That's another real issue. First of all, in 2 years, the United States are going to be voting for members of Congress again. And yet only 30 to 40% of Americans show up for those elections that determine the shape of our government.
This is Ray LaRaja. He's a political scientist at the University of Massachusetts. He belongs to a network of people, this week's People Fixing the World, who think a voter lottery could be a quick and effective fix to what he views as a democratic crisis.
At local elections, right here in my hometown of Amherst, college town, high education, we had 6% turnout in that local election. So these numbers belie any reasonable expectation of true representation and accountability.
And representation is important. Studies show us that if you're highly educated, you tend to vote much more than if you're less educated. The same if you're older, richer, and whiter. In some countries, like Australia, for example, voting is compulsory. You're fined if you don't turn up. In others, like Sweden, registering voters is automatic. But in America, only 65% of eligible voters are actually registered. That's 35% of Americans discounted before they even get to the polls.
If you go to a system in which you rely heavily on individual resources, such as education, such as money, such as proximity to the voting booth, you're going to get a systematic bias in who turns out. And so many scholars have been looking at costs. How can we lower costs by making registration easier, by having more days open to voting? And we said, well, let's take a look at benefits. What little nudges can we give the electorate that is short of corruption, but kind of says, hey, this might be a little fun for you to go out?
And the hack? Simple. you pay them. Social scientists have understood for some time that cash payments alter people's incentives, sometimes drastically. For example, paying people money to quit smoking greatly enhances the chance of success. But this is slightly different. Rather than directly offering cash, what our proponents are suggesting is offering rewards. And it turns out in America, offering rewards to voters isn't a new solution, but actually a really old one. Here's a potted history from Ray.
There's a long history in the United States going to the colonial days where the people who came to vote, they were craftsmen and some property holders. But they came to the polls expecting to be treated by the elites to some good rum punch, maybe some cake. This was not beneath the dignity of George Washington even. So that tradition carried forward. And in the 19th century, it intensified as the electorate expanded to people who were even poorer. The political parties became adept at setting up bar stools for people who came in after they voted, and then you were awarded with a shot of whiskey, a good cigar, maybe a little bit of beef. That history changed in the 20th century. We had a progressive movement that tried to do away with the power of the corrupt parties. But in the process of making the system pure, we did away with some of the kind of human elements.
Ray wanted to bring a bit of the fun back into voting and a bit of the bribery. And lotteries felt like a winner.
We do know that lotteries happen to be incredibly popular, particularly among what we call low socioeconomic status voters, for whatever reasons.
So he and a colleague did an experimental survey. They asked some voters how likely they were to vote, then said, what would be your likelihood of voting if you had a different set of rewards, such as
a $1 guarantee
or a chance to win
$220 million.
But the one that worked best was
100,000 chances for citizens to win a little over $2,000.
Why do you think that people in your research were more incentivized by a lottery payout than an individual cash guarantee?
There's a couple of things. I think the cash guarantee sounds too much like money for votes. The lottery puts some distance between that. It creates a game. It's more random. You might not have a chance of winning, so it doesn't seem like you're just buying my vote.
Now, Ray was doing this as an experiment in the lab, so to speak, in 2013. But this idea was getting picked up and debated outside of the lab too. And one of those places was Los Angeles.
Here's a good story. The first woman that was selected didn't believe us, and she declined the award.
So you tried to give her $25,000 and she said no.
She said she was going to report us to the Better Business Bureau. And she had her husband come on the phone and threaten us. He was going to, you know, kick our butt if we didn't leave his wife alone. And she was an accountant, and she said she knew it was a lie, it was a scam, and we're just trying to get her social security number and stuff.
This is Antonio Gonzalez, president of the Southwest Voter Education Registration Project. It's his job to try to get people in Latino communities to vote more. Antonio's voter education project was the first to try the lottery. It had earlier been suggested by the City of Los Angeles Ethics Committee as a solution to an epidemic of historically low turnouts. But the idea was rejected, so Antonio picked up the baton.
We called it Votería to rhyme with Lotería because that's a big deal in the Mexican and Central American communities here in the West. And we wanted the branding to catch on.
They tested it in one LA district for a school board trustee, a job where you're responsible for the education of tens of thousands of children. The incumbent was a non-Hispanic in a 90% Hispanic district. And the last time this position was up for grabs, the turnout was around 9%. Now, just to clarify, the lottery was open to anyone who lived in the district and was registered to vote. All you had to do to enter was to turn up to the polling station on election day and cast your vote. But it was specifically Antonio Gonzalez's aim to mobilize the Latino vote, a group who are historically underrepresented in the electoral system for all sorts of social and historical reasons. And it worked.
2015, it went up slightly. It went up to about 10.
He means 10%. Let me give you some numbers. Out of the 27,000 people who voted in this election, it's estimated that 2,000 of them came out purely because of the Votería.
So Gemma, we love dissecting evidence here on World Hacks. So let me stop you there and figure out what that actually means. So there was an increase from 9% to 10%, which I would say is a significant rise, but clearly not a massive one. But can we be sure that this increase, these 2,000 extra voters, were because of Voteria?
So the crucial figure you need to hone in on, Antonio says, is not the increase overall, but the increase amongst people who said they'd heard of the Voteria. Remember, this was a small campaign run on a tight budget, half of which was prize money, with no media sponsors or paid adverts for a pretty unsexy election, a school board trustee. Important, not sexy. So when an exit survey was done, they found that only 14% of voters had even heard of Voteria. But, and this is the but, amongst them, almost half of them said it was their reason for coming out to vote.
And we think that's statistically significant. Our experiment was not intended to have a massive effect. It couldn't. We didn't have the budget to get it into the hands, into the minds, into the imaginations of the voters.
This experiment was a petri dish of local democracy, but that bump in the numbers in a fairly obscure school board election was enough to keep the idea alive. And it didn't stay put in LA, it travelled all the way from America's East Coast, 4,000 kilometres, to its west. The idea was picked up on the pages of the Philadelphia Citizen in their Ideas We Should Steal column. The Philadelphia Citizen is a 15-month-year-old media experiment trying to combine solutions-based journalism with mobilising citizens to take action. So it doesn't just write about ideas, it puts them into practice too. Larry Platt is the Citizen's editor.
Philadelphia is the birthplace of American democracy, and it desperately needs defibrillating. So we saw what happened in Los Angeles. We saw the effect that it had. And we said, you know what? This is worth trying. We might as well throw it against the wall and see if it sticks. Some people would say, and some people did say, that's a gimmick. It demeans voting. I think what demeans democracy is the abysmal turnout rates that we have at our polls.
So the funders of The Citizen put up a prize of $10,000 for one lucky voter in the 2015 mayoral election. And for Larry, the lottery did what it's intended to.
We've gotten tons of feedback from people who would not have turned out for the polls were it not for the opportunity to win some money. Some of them, I'll be honest, some of them did it solely because of the opportunity to make a buck. Some, however, were relatively informed, but it was the kick in the pants they needed to get out because, again, otherwise they felt their vote didn't usually count.
So, Gemma, if you compare this one to the LA election you were talking about earlier, we're talking about a much more important election here, voting for a city mayor. It feels like a much bigger experiment. So what do the numbers look like here, I wonder? It feels like an election where we can really test this idea's scalability.
Well, there certainly appears to be an increase in voter turnout. So in the equivalent election in 2011, there was a 20% turnout, which for an important figure like city mayor is pretty appalling, hence the need for the lottery. And in 2015, the year they ran the lottery, turnout went up to 25.9%. Now, obviously, we don't know how many of those extra votes can be attributed to the lottery. But this is what we can say. Again, with very little publicity, just a press conference 12 days before, and coverage on The Citizen's website, a pre-election survey by an independent polling group showed that among the people who had heard of the lottery, that was about 30%, turnout was 5% higher. And that's why the Philadelphia Citizen are doing this all over again in May.
Those to me look like pretty good cause-effect right now.
That's Ray LaRaja, the political scientist from Massachusetts.
You know, none of these incentive systems are going to produce 90 to 100% turnout, but they will bump up voters and especially new voters.
And theoretically, there's nothing stopping this being used in elections big and small across the world. In Japan, for example, where turnout fell from 75% in 1990 to 52% in 2014. Or Greece, which has seen turnout in parliamentary elections fall from 89% in 2000 to 62% in September 2015.
So Gemma, I'm going to stop you again, because numbers aren't everything. On a purely numerical basis, this idea seems to be having an effect. But there are other dimensions here, aren't there? Even ethical ones.
And I think that that might make some people feel just uncomfortable. For a start, these local election lotteries may be legal, but if you wanted to run them on a national level or around the world, I reckon they'd hit some pretty big legal grey areas. But what's interesting to me is what this might do to the people who already turn out. Could lotteries have a perverse effect on them, somehow cheapening their vote?
Yeah, so many people enjoy voting, and there is some evidence that they're put off by the very idea of being offered cash for something they feel it's their duty to do. Now, they didn't check for this in the field, but it does come up in Ray LaRaj's survey of voters. He found a small decline in the people who already vote, saying a cash reward would make them feel less likely to vote. And that sort of makes sense if you think of voting as a right that ordinary people across the world have fought really hard to secure.
The other thing that makes me feel a little bit uncomfortable here is the focus on the numbers. It's a great idea, gets more people voting, it makes democracy work for everyone. But by simply increasing the numbers, are you weakening that democracy by encouraging people to vote solely for the money?
So that's the big one, right?
Well, if your measure of participation is how many people vote, then I guess this counts as progress. The question is, does anybody know what the hell they're voting for?
What we've been talking about is a classic nudge used by behavioural economists all the time to get people to behave in a certain way. But Barry Schwartz, TED talker and professor of psychology, has spent his career as a critic of nudge. He thinks there are no incentives you can create that are smart enough to substitute for people wanting to do the right thing just because it's the right thing.
It seems to me that voting is an index of civic engagement when the only reason people have to vote is that they are civically engaged. And when you start bribing them to vote, all it's going to be a measure of is people's desire to make some money.
And what that results in is the appearance that you've solved the problem. 80% turnout on paper looks great, but really the problem has just been driven underground.
If you had 80% turnout, but of that 80%, half didn't know who they were voting for or what, you wouldn't think you had a problem anymore. But you've got the same damn problem.
So the question is, what is a voter lottery solving? And I guess the answer sort of rests on whether you think democracy is a right or a privilege. As in, should everyone be pushed to vote or should only quality votes count?
Exactly. If it's just about increasing numbers, then you could have the worst case scenario of the apathetic making uninformed decisions. But Antonio Gonzalez and Larry Platt are desperately trying to reach out to the non-voters in their community with the understanding that until they do, then the system will always be skewed against them.
One could call it the dictatorship of the informed.
So who knows? Maybe this could work, or maybe it's better to just go back to the old cakes, bunting, community fair, and just enjoy election day. Thanks, Gemma.
Thanks, Kat.
That's it from us this week. We'd love to know what you think of it all. So why not drop us a review on iTunes or wherever you download your podcast? Or send us an email to worldhacks@bbc.co.uk. If you'd like to see some of our lovely videos as well, check out our Facebook page at BBC World Hacks. There's a great one up there now about how to stop hackers breaking into your toaster. Until next time, see ya.